Welcome to Who Killed Whitney? I'm George Coloris.
And I'm Shakira Demessier.
This episode is I Will Always Love You, a tribute to Whitney Houston. We've spent so much time talking about Whitney's death, but today, Shakira, I thought, let's talk about Whitney's life and her legacy. We'll drop this episode on February 11th. That's the 10-year memorial of the day she died. And I thought that the best way to celebrate Whitney is to talk about her life and why we love her.
That's a beautiful thing to do. She's got so many iconic moments, and she's just an iconic being in general. So we're commemorating her.
Joining us, as always, is our producer, Kiana Kirkendall. How are you doing, Kiana?
I'm doing so well. I'm so excited for this one. So excited.
Awesome. Joining us for this episode is my friend, and Jenny. How are you doing, Jenny?
I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to celebrate Whitney. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad to have you here. Jenny and I bonded over our Whitney love many moons ago, and she was there when it started. We were sitting next to each other in that movie theater when we watched that documentary. And Jenny, I actually went back to my Instagram and realized you took me to that for my birthday. That was on my birthday that you and I went to see that Whitney documentary. And then in that parking deck, we looked at each other and we're like, what the fuck is going on with those lights?
Absolutely. And I remember that. It's like a flashpoint memory when we walked out. It was like, okay, water, cupcakes, Whitney was murdered. Let's talk about
it. That's pretty much how it started. And here we are now, like 4 years later.
Yeah.
Jenny, I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What's your first Whitney memory? What connected you to Whitney?
So that's a great question. And I hate to say, like, I can't find one specific memory. And I was like, oh man, that makes me a bad Whitney fan. But then I was like, it doesn't because I feel like she's always been kind of present. So like where I don't have like, this is it. This is when I first heard Whitney. I can make Whitney, like I can find her throughout like my college days, my high school days. Like she was always there. So she's just my girl.
She's just always been there for you.
Yeah, she has.
What about you, Shakira? What was your first Whitney connection?
The Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, yeah.
In that tracksuit?
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I've never seen anybody come out in a tracksuit and kill it.
That was okay? A moment.
That was a moment for me. I felt like I just died. Like I fell out and I just couldn't take it. That is the most memorable moment of Whitney that I have. I think her voice was like at its height. The best.
It was the best. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Ever to this day. Beyonce, the thing about Beyonce, the hive is going to come for me.
I don't know if you want to go there.
I don't know if I want to go there, but I'm going to say it. But the thing about Beyonce, she did the Star Spangled Banner. I liked it. It's good. But there's no like soul in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no like, I don't really, it's good. It sounds good, but I don't believe what you're saying. But when Whitney sang it, I was an American. When Whitney sang that song, honey, I was America down. I was American.
Oh, I mean, she turned the Star Spangled Banner into a pop hit. People were calling radio stations, requesting it.
Yes.
And then I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was like right after 9/11, right? It came back. Like everybody went back to Whitney's Star Spangled Banner in that patriotic moment.
Yep.
It's like, I think it'll probably always be there for us in moments of crisis.
There was so much belief in it.
Yeah.
So much belief in it. And it was the most incredible version to this day that I've ever heard.
Did you see Brandy recently when she sang the Star Spangled Banner and she came out in a white tracksuit with the little cross earrings and everything, just like in her homage to Whitney?
No, but I've never seen it, but I'm not here for it. I don't like the way it sounds. Was it good?
It was good. It was good. But I, you know, was more into the homage.
Mm.
You know, lots of people can sing it, but Whitney somehow found a way to own it.
That woman is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Kiana? What's your first Whitney connection?
Probably The Bodyguard.
Okay.
Because I think I watched that relatively young with my mom. And that was the first encounter that I had where my mom was like, okay, let me tell you about Whitney Houston. Because I'd always listened to her music, but that was when she was like, so let me tell you, here's everything you need to know about Whitney.
That's good parenting.
It's great parenting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Mine was I Want to Dance with Somebody. I remember I was at my cousin's house and he had a TV in his room and MTV's on. And he's like, have you seen this woman, Whitney Houston? And I just fell in love instantly. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. But then I couldn't remember her name. I just knew it was a city in Texas. So I called her Whitney Austin for a long time. I did the same thing when I first heard Kanye West. And then I went back and told all my friends about this guy named Cayenne.
Not Cayenne. George. Pepper.
Yeah. No, I was real embarrassed. embarrassing. And I was like really into that album and calling it Cayenne. Same thing with Whitney. I was calling her Whitney Austin for a little bit too long.
Oh gosh, that is hilarious. I love how your memory works.
Kanye is forever going to be called Cayenne.
Hey, Cayenne.
That's what he's going to change his name to next.
Legally Cayenne.
Yeah, and then just Yan.
Oh, I like that. I like Yan.
What do you guys think is Whitney's draw? What has made her an icon?
You know, I think she's like known to be very sweet, but also when she's interviewing, she's like a hard ass at the mm-hmm. same time. And so that's what I'll always remember about her, is having that, you know, dichotomy. Look at me, big words, of being both sweet and spicy.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah, she was the pop princess, but had definitely this edge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when we pulled back the curtain, we realized that it was a lot more than edge.
Right.
I love that she seemed really nice and just glamorous and beautiful and iconic. She's like the epitome of pop star. And then I also love that, you know, that time she took Wendy Williams to task. She's like, I'm not putting up with your shit, Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
I love that.
At the
that
end
about
of that
her.
Interview, she was like, I love you.
Yeah.
What is this? What is this?
She's such an auntie.
I love her.
Such an auntie.
Yeah, I just would never cross Whitney. I don't know. She looks like she would fuck you up.
As she should. I mean, people were coming for her. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
She was in the tabloids, headlines all the time. So, you know, she had to defend herself.
And before Bobby, right? She's rumored to date every guy in Hollywood. Then Bobby Brown, then I guess white media didn't think Bobby Brown was good enough for her because, you know, he didn't have the crossover appeal she did. And suddenly he's the bad boy corrupting the good girl. And it just becomes celebrity media nightmare. Like they're just right. In the tabloids nonstop. They're haunted by it. I think it's the worst thing to happen to her is how famous she got and how they just would not let her go.
Right. I agree.
But she was born to do this. It was her destiny, right? She's born into a musical family. Her mom's a singer. She's cousins with Dionne Warwick. And she has just like a God-given voice, just like one of the most incredible instruments ever put on the planet. At 19, she's discovered by Clive Davis. And then she comes out punching. She launches in 85 with Saving All My Love for You.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to number one. And then she has that historic run of 7 consecutive number one hits. So follows that with How Will I Know? Then Greatest Love of All, which is like turned into total cheese now, but like was really great in the moment.
Yeah.
I Want to Dance with Somebody came out, and then that just like escalated her to the next level. Didn't We Almost Have It All? So Emotional. And Where Do Broken Hearts Go? And she beat the Beatles, right? The Beatles had the record for the longest run of consecutive number one hits, and she beat them, and nobody's beat her record. She still holds that record.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's incredible.
Then she has 4 more number one hits, right? She has I'm Your Baby Tonight, All the Man That I Need, I Will Always Love You, of course, and then Exhale, Shoop, Shoop from Waiting to Exhale.
Bitch, that is my jam.
That's such a good
song. I haven't heard that song in so long. Oh, man. Shoop, shoop. Man, that soundtrack was an amazing
soundtrack. That was a
soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
Oh, gosh. That was the first CD I've ever bought, was The Waiting to Exhale.
Really? It was The Waiting to Exhale?
Yeah, because I loved all the songs. The movie was great. It was like $12 at the time, which mm-hmm. is very pricey for a CD now, if you think about it. It's like, that is expensive. But I saved up my little $12. I bought that CD. It was the best purchase I've ever made. To this day, it's one of the best soundtracks.
No, I love it. I was probably the only, you know, kid in my class listening to the Waiting to Exhale album, but I mean, I was a huge fan at that point. I ended up getting tickets to like the Atlanta opening night preview or whatever. I ended up singing I'm a Little Teapot in front of that whole theater full of people to get a t-shirt that was too big on me. I was so into it that before the movie came out, I went and read the Terry McMillan book, and then I got caught up in Terry McMillan. So I was also like teenage white dude reading
that.
Terry McMillan novels.
I love that. I love that. I love it. Love it. Love it for you.
So yeah, she has 20 singles hit the top 100. She is like a historic first, being this pop singer who had what's called, you know, crossover, which I think is kind of a derogatory term. It means that white audiences accepted her, and she gets to be played on white radio and MTV. But it, I mean, she broke that barrier along with Michael Jackson. And that's an interesting moment in history, right? Where like Whitney and Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan are at the top of pop culture. She's the most awarded female artist of all time, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. She had over 400 career awards, including 2 Emmys, 6 Grammys, 16 Billboard Awards, 22 AMAs, and she should have won an Oscar for the Bodyguard songs, but they gave it to fucking Aladdin instead. And then, yeah, she does the Star Spangled Banner in 91. It's iconic. It's a pop hit. We were in a moment where we started the Gulf War. America's scared. And she comes out and comforts us with this. But she's also not dressed glamorous, right? She's wearing the tracksuit. That's what moms were wearing. So she kind of just comes out. She's America's mom. Mm-hmm. And she like kind of makes us all feel better and just sings this like angelic version of Star Spangled Banner, which apparently was controversial at the time. The NFL didn't want her to release that mix. And her dad, John Houston, was like, yeah, we're not going to be redoing it. And she was right.
Wow. I wonder why the NFL didn't want it.
So I don't know music very well, but it has something to do with the arrangement that she did it on a more bluesy arrangement than it normally has.
Sure.
And they thought it was too slow and people wouldn't be able to sing along with it. And so they wanted her to re-record it. And apparently she also did it on the first take. She shows up and like, have you listened to it? And she goes, oh yeah, not yet. She listens to it and she goes, yeah, I can do that. And then just fucking does it. Just does it effortlessly.
I understand. Remember when Fergie did the Star Spangled Banner?
Do I remember?
She ruined it too. So I can understand not wanting to change the arrangement. But for someone like Whitney, she can do whatever the heck she wants to do. But someone like Fergie, no, she needs to be reined in.
Did you see the reaction?
We don't need a rendition.
They made a children's book.
I was about to mention that. That's so funny.
And they illustrated it with all the words that were not correct.
Oh my gosh.
Horrifically hilarious.
That is so funny.
Iconic in a different way.
What was she thinking? But who hired Fergie? I don't know Fergie for like her vocal ability like that, you know? Just cute. Her little mischief kind of mischief and a baby. That's great. But
that is not Star Spangled Banner. Like the hardest song to sing in public.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody has a side eye for that.
Mm-mm. No.
She doesn't.
We love you, Fergie, but ugh.
Gosh, I've been coming for everybody.
Oh, I know. You want to go after Gaga too?
I'm a little spicy. I'm sorry. You know, entertainment's really difficult. So props to you if you've made it that far. Like, I'm not a garden gnome, okay? You are doing it and I'm proud of you, sis.
Shakira's channeling her inner Whitney today.
Sweet and spicy.
Yep.
Oh, man.
So with all these moments that are just so iconic, I thought that what we should do is create in this episode a Whitney Houston Hall of Fame and just kind of pitch some ideas of if we were going to build a big Hall of Fame to Whitney Houston and put, you know, a few exhibits, what would we need to make sure gets included?
The curly wig.
Wait, from I Want to Dance with Somebody?
From I Want to Dance with Somebody? Yes.
I was going to say throw in that whole music video. I mean, the whole thing, curly wig, dress, like the neon splattered paint, disco ball, the whole nine yards.
It shouldn't work and it shouldn't still feel like it works, but it's amazing. I think
Whitney could sell anything to us, honestly.
I don't know anyone else who could get away with that dress.
No.
Shakira could.
Shakira de Messier? Or Shakira?
Shakira de Messier.
Oh my God. Yana, that is so kind. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, girl. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you.
I like that. I love that, Kiki. Never called you Kiki before.
Everybody does.
And if you don't like it.
No, everybody does. I love it.
We might as well throw in the tracksuit. That's got to be there.
Oh, for sure.
Love it.
For sure. That is iconic. That whole moment again, but the tracksuit and little cross earrings and the headband. It's just so effortless.
Yes. And I will say another outfit, if we're throwing in, if we're going to have like a Whitney museum, you have to have like a walkway with all of her looks, right? So we'll have the...
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I Want to Dance with Somebody dress, the tracksuit. But one of my favorite, and I'm actually a little sad that this song didn't make the top 10, is It's Not Right, But It's Okay.
I love that song.
It's a great song.
One of my favorites.
So good.
But she looks like such a badass in that leather getup, short. Mm-hmm. It's like a deep red lip, and you know not to mess with her. Ooh. It's one of my top 10 songs of my life.
Yeah, that's a great song.
So I need to outfit in there too.
I love that song. It's also so specific when she like starts the reading receipt. What's on the credit card receipt.
Oh my God.
And the area code of who's been calling, like.
I love that song. That song is fantastic.
So good.
That
in
was
that
like
beginning?
Her comeback, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That album is killer. That is such a good album.
It is. And some of my best memories, like when I'm old. I'm old now. But when I was young and in my 20s with my girlfriends, we would put the top down on like the VW Eos that my friend would drive. And we would blare that song. I mean, up and down, Buckhead. It was Whitney. It's not right. It's okay. Reading receipts, the whole nine yards.
I'd rather be alone than unhappy. It's such a it's such a good breakup song.
Such a good one.
Fantastic.
So I want to put the moment from The Bodyguard. It's kind of a clothing thing as well. I mean, she's having that really like the sexy scene when Kevin Costner and he has the swords. I'm not really sure what they're supposed to represent, but and then the scarf kind of flutters down that she's been wearing in the day, and then it just slices on the sword. I don't know why. Ooh. That is so hot to me. But I have always thought that that is just like one of the hottest moments that are just not overtly sexual in a movie. I don't know how you put that in a Hall of Fame. Like what exhibit? Maybe.
Oh gosh. What interview was that? Was that Oprah where she was like, I don't do crack. Crack is cheap. Oh,
that's a Diane Sawyer interview.
Diane Sawyer.
Yeah, the crack is whack interview.
Crack is whack.
That was rough.
That was rough, but it's iconic.
Oh God, it's iconic.
It is. It's, I mean, woof. Crack is whack. Crack is cheap.
Yeah, I mean, I also loved that. Like, that's our explanation. Like, I am rich. Crack is cheap. Right. I don't do that shit.
I don't do crack. Crack is cheap. But you know what I heard? Crack is not cheap. It's cheaper than cocaine because you can buy it in smaller doses, whereas cocaine, you have to buy it in specific doses. I don't know. But you can buy it in small. It's like the 99 cent store. Let me tell you something about the 99 cent store. The 99 cent store is not a deal, okay? It is not a deal. They're just selling it to you for less quantity. But if you look at the ounce, you're paying more per ounce. So it's not cheap. You can just get less of it with what you have. And that is crack.
Crack is like a Dollar Tree drug.
It's a Dollar Tree drug. It's a Dollar Tree drug. It is. Not a steal.
I'm writing that down. I just love every interview moment she's ever had because she's so funny. Have you seen her vacuuming in an interview on a late night talk show?
No.
What?
No. What are you talking about?
She was on this late night talk show and she was doing an interview and she was like talking about how she loves vacuuming. And she's like, I hate a dirty rug. I hate a dirty rug. And then she looks at the rug that they have on set. And she's like, look at your rug. It's dirty. She's like, I need to vacuum. And they bring out a vacuum and she gets up and she's vacuuming the rug.
No, she
and the
doesn't.
Band starts playing and she puts on a whole dance number with it. And it is so funny and so iconic.
Need to find that.
How do I not know? Okay, we'll be finding this and we'll definitely be sharing it in the show notes.
It's so
That's
good.
Amazing.
It's so good.
I really love her Oprah interview, kind of late in her career. They're in that theater. It's a long interview. It's just Oprah and Whitney. And she just puts it all out there. She's really honest. She talks about her career and her struggles and the drug use and the relationship with Bobby. And Oprah even said, she's like, before she interviewed Whitney, she turned off all the cameras and is like, what am I going to get here? And she's like, you're going to get the truth. And it's really a great interview if you want to get to know Whitney. I think she was really raw and interesting in that. And then I love, again, like the Wendy Williams, because she just hands it to her. She's like, you make a lot of money off of talking about me.
True.
I love when Wendy's like, we need to get you on the show. And she's like, yeah, all right. You call my machine, I'll call yours. So good. I love her.
Okay, so there'll be a hallway with the dresses and then there'll be another hallway with like interview TVs.
Yes.
And showing all these like iconic interviews. I think that's a really good idea.
Just pictures of her entourage, which was like 75 people at all times.
I wish I had an entourage because that'd be like fun, but I also would be scared that like one of them is there to coo me.
Yeah, there's always going to be at least one. Like Jesus told you that.
Yeah.
There's always so one of them is always going to, you know, at least one. So I'm good on the entourage.
Okay, so I think the number one moment for the Whitney Hall of Fame, the greatest moment of Whitney, in my opinion, is this. Often imitated, never duplicated. The strength of Whitney. She fucking kills it. That beat drops and she hits that note. It's fucking amazing. I still get chills to this day.
You feel it in your bones.
Oh,
yeah, you do.
It becomes a part of your soul.
And I hate it for every person who's ever tried to sing that. They cannot do it. It does. I mean, like Ariana Grande can hit the notes. She's got the notes, right? Jennifer Hudson, she did it at the Grammys. It was beautiful. She hit it, but they didn't get get it. Like, you just can't do it. I think it should have just never been touched. It should have been untouchable. Anybody who went to American Idol and tried to do it, I was like, please do not do
what
that.
What are we doing?
Makes for great content, though.
Yeah.
For American Idol.
They often sounded like Jim Carrey doing it.
Oh, man.
Anyone else doing it is like the Fergie to the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes, yes.
Agreed.
Whitney, otherwise you're just Fergie and you have a children's book now. Like, it's just bad.
Yeah, there's just some songs you don't touch. Just don't do it. Just, you're never going to do it better. It's like, don't remake Casablanca.
Yeah.
We don't need you to try. We got it. It's good. Just leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
You just look stupid. We see your weakness.
Do you think there will ever be another person that has a voice close to Whitney's?
Never.
Never?
No, I mean, there will be great voices. We have some really great voices now, but Whitney's is so distinct and just outstanding. I don't think there'll be another voice similar to hers.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's such a perfect sound. And then she's so effortless. Like, when she's hitting these notes and these runs, it doesn't look like she's straining. It looks, it's like, the only other person I see that from is Audra McDonald. And she opens her mouth, it's like she's opened a portal to heaven. And it's like a sound of angels coming out.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look like she's trying. It looks like she's yawning at most, you know. Like, it's just really like she just opens it, like, it's perfect. And Whitney was like that. It just, that mouth opened and it was amazing. And, you know, a lot of other people are great singers, but you can see that they're trying in a way that you didn't see it on Whitney.
She was effortless.
Yeah,
she was born to do this.
I totally agree. And I think it's just, you know, who she is. I think when she sang, she offered up who she was. And that can't be duplicated. I mean, with anybody, when you offer who you are in your work, you cannot be duplicated. Because you're like a snowflake. There's only one. Oh,
Shakira.
I'm dropping gems today, baby.
I got chills.
I'm dropping gems.
We need a Shakira Hall of Fame.
Gems. Just saying. The 99 cent store is like crack to cocaine.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I need a t-shirt.
Okay, you guys mentioned the Wardrobe Hall of Fame, and there's one, I think if we're going to be honest about Whitney, we got to talk about Whitney's worst moment, and it's her wedding dress. The worst wedding dress I've ever seen in my entire life. I do not know how someone so beautiful and so fashionable put that on. The only other wedding dress I think is nearly as bad is the one Dorothy wears in The Golden Girls. It's so remarkably bad. My question is, would it go into the Wardrobe Hall, or do we just pretend it didn't happen?
It's not that bad. It's
oh
not
my god,
that
it's the worst. What's that headpiece?
How long ago was that? That was like late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not that bad.
Would you wear that dress?
in 1989, maybe.
It's not so much the dress, it's kind of the veil. The veil is like a dress itself.
The headpiece,
it covers her from her ankles to her wrists and to the top of her neck. Like, it's a turtleneck.
It is a turtleneck.
Long sleeve, long dress. And then she's got the veil.
Ooh.
Well, was it winter time?
She looks like a nun.
Right. It's the headpiece that's a
It's a really bad habit. It's so bad. I guess if you want to hold a record, you know, that's one you can also hold. Worst wedding dress in pop music history.
I mean, she's got to have every title, doesn't she? Gotta win them all.
Gotta win them all. I honestly don't think it's that bad for the time, you know, because I've seen some dresses in the late 80s, early 90s, and they were like, burn them. You know, they were so bad. This one's like, I mean, if you took away this, if it wasn't a turtleneck, but it might have been cold. When did she get married? Did she get married in Newark?
That's a good question.
Okay, I'm going to answer this question.
It might have been cold. Then it makes sense. Her wrists were covered.
It's very metaphorical.
Oh, no, it was not cold, Shakira. It was on July 18th. So she's wearing a turtleneck in the summer.
In the summer. Yeah, that's in the middle of summer. Yikes. Yeah, I don't know.
But I love you going to bat for her.
I mean, it's not the worst dress I've ever seen. It's definitely not nice or something I would pick out, but it's not the worst.
So does it go into the Hall of Dresses?
It does.
It's got to.
Okay. It's iconic enough in its badness that it belongs.
George, you just have such personal beef with this wedding dress.
When I was a kid, I was what, 12 years old when this photo is released, and I'm like, what the fuck?
George,
George, I want to know what you would have dressed her in for her wedding.
I mean, something nice, like a nice wedding dress. I mean, she can rock anything. Like,
clearly not.
That's what's amazing. It's like you found the one dress I can imagine that she wouldn't look good in. She looked good in that Want to Dance with Somebody dress. And we just said that very few people would be able to pull that off, right? Just a nice white wedding dress. She could do the Cinderella princessy thing. That would have been lovely. She could do something like a clean silhouette. She would have looked great in that. It could have been tight. It could have been big. It could have been poofy. I don't give a fuck. As long as it doesn't have a turtleneck and long sleeves and the worst veil ever made.
Oh, man, you hate that dress.
I've been hearing about it for so long.
Really? This is not the first time you heard about that dress?
No, this is probably like the 8th.
Oh, my gosh.
He hates this dress.
Okay, so, you know, Whitney has really become extra iconic in the last 10 years. I really am starting to see people wearing t-shirts with her on there. I remember when I was a kid and like Marilyn Monroe was like, you'd put a Marilyn Monroe poster on your wall. You'd never seen a Marilyn Monroe movie, right? And I think that's happening with Whitney.
Mm.
Like I'm seeing Whitney throw pillows and like merch and stuff. And she's got a lot coming up. You know, we've discussed that Primary Wave Music bought the rights to her library. They also bought unreleased tracks that she's put out there. They recently put out a cover of Higher Love with Kygo. Do you guys know that song? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I heard it last year, right? I'm in a bar with a friend and it's like faintly playing over the radio. And this is like a straight rural Georgia, like construction dude that I'm talking to. And I go, shh, 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 shh. And he's like, what? I'm like, hush, hush, hold on. I hear Whitney. And I like command a silence. And I'm like, that's Whitney singing a song. I've never heard her sing. What is this? And I'm like, get up and go close to the speaker and Shazam it. And I was like, oh my God, a new song by Whitney. And lost my shit. It was my top listened to song on Spotify that year. Apparently, there's going to be more moments like that. There's some more unreleased hits and collaborations that are going to be putting out in the next couple of years.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm here for.
So is it her like singing it?
She had recorded the cover of Higher Love and then it never got released. And so Kygo took it and kind of remixed it.
Okay.
But it's her singing it, and it's her singing it, you know, in the 90s when she fucking sings it. It's really good.
Yeah.
She also has that hologram tour coming out. Primary Wave is going to be doing that as well.
Oh, okay.
So how do you guys feel about the hologram tour? Like some people think it's really controversial that they shouldn't do it. Others like me are really excited about it.
How do I think you feel? It's weird.
Didn't they already do a hologram tour and it failed terribly? Or am I making that up?
Yeah, I think they tried to do it in England and it didn't work very well. But my understanding is that they are working on the technology and plan to do either like a Vegas residency or a big city national Whitney tour of the hologram.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming Jenny, you and I will be there front row.
Is that even a question?
I will feel terrible about it, but like this really should not be happening. I cannot believe I am supporting this, but you know, I'll be there with my wine and ready to watch the Whitney hologram.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
That's one of the greatest regrets in my life. I never got to see Whitney live. I never got to see Michael Jackson live either. But after Whitney died, I made it a point to see every artist I wanted to see live when I could. I spent a lot of money on some Madonna tickets right after Whitney died because I was like, I'm not going to let this happen again.
Well, and you want to see them while they're still good. Like, of course,
yeah.
I think Whitney's amazing. But to tie back into like the failed hologram thing they did, I guess, in England, she also went on tour with like her comeback, but she wasn't fully there yet.
Horrible. That Australian tour, yeah, didn't work out well.
Tantruming, wanting your money back. So you really have to find these treasures and see them while they're still killing it.
That's what happened the last time I went to a Madonna concert. I was there and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have come to this one. I did not need to see that. That makes me sad.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
There's also a Whitney bio movie coming out. Did you guys know about this?
No.
It's coming out in December. It's called I Want to Dance with Somebody. And it's a musical biography of Whitney Houston starring Naomi Ackie as Whitney. And it's directed by Casey Lemons. And Stanley Tucci is playing Clive Davis.
Stanley Tucci.
Which is like the weirdest Clive Davis casting. But sure, why not?
Wait. Stanley Tucci is playing Clive Davis?
That's my understanding.
Yeah, Shakira, you should love this.
I mean, I'm into Stanley Tucci, as we all know.
You're like, not him as the villain.
It's just an interesting casting.
I like that you said the villain, Kiana. I don't think I don't think that's the role he's going to be playing in this movie, but I like that that's how you saw it.
I don't think that's the angle.
For legal reasons, I won't be speaking further.
I've also heard, you know, with reboots being a big thing right now, that they're trying to put together a Bodyguard reboot. And I remember years ago, Kevin Costner said that he was trying to do Bodyguard 2 with Princess Diana. And it was going to be Frank Farmer protecting a princess played by Princess Diana, who, I don't know, maybe she would have been a good actress. Like, that would have been putting a lot on her. And then she died, I guess, before they had a chance to make that movie. And so then any talk of doing it again had stopped. But now it's kind of come back up of, should there be a Bodyguard 2 or a remake? How do you guys feel about that? Who do you think should be in it if they do it?
Fantasia. just kidding, but not really at the same time. I don't think that like it should be like, you know, someone playing the Whitney Houston character.
Yeah.
Like if it's going to be the Bodyguard 2, then it's got to be a whole new story with a whole new character. And not like Coming to America 2, which was awful. That was a bad movie where they had, you know, former casts come to do the movie and it was bad. It was bad. Coming to America is a great film. Bodyguard is a great film. I'm not sure if we should ruin it with a Bodyguard 2. Because it's not going to be as good as the first one.
For sure. There's no way.
For me, like, Kevin Costner's replaceable. I mean, I came up with a list of my Bodyguard, like any of the Chris's, Chris Pratt, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, whatever. But Whitney, that character, she owned that. Just
that's
like her songs, like that can't be duplicated. There's millions, like you said, talented singers, actresses out there. But when someone takes on a role like that and owns it and literally puts their soul into it, you can't duplicate that.
I'm with you that I definitely don't want them to do anything where somebody's playing Rachel Maron. Like, don't do that. Redo it. It can be Kevin Costner again, but
who is he protecting at that age?
No, not sure. He's too grown up. But like,
you don't like the whole Liam Neeson approach?
No. What is up with that?
I don't know.
What is up with that? Like, let it go. The man is like can hardly run. Like, just let him go. Let him be in peace. You're ridiculous.
I love how you say that like they're dead.
Let him rest.
Yeah, let him rest. But that's how they treat like aging actresses.
Mm-hmm.
They just like let them go. They're like, you can play the grandma now, but we're not really casting you in, you know, anything significant. So, but the men, we let them run and jump until they're 82. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Liam Neeson.
Jenny, I think you make a good point there, because before Whitney was cast in The Bodyguard, they had been talking to Diana Ross years before when they were first trying to make it in, I think, the 70s or 80s. The idea is like someone who's just like iconic that kind of plays this role. And so the only person we have that's that big is Beyonce anymore, right? We just don't have any stars that are that huge. I think if there's any Bodyguard remake, Beyonce is literally the only person that could take that role.
I cannot take Beyonce in another movie.
That's all I'm saying. That's my problem. I can't do it. But who else is there?
Icon wise, I think you hit it, but I'm with Shakira. I don't know.
I can't see it.
Okay, so like Beyonce and Bradley Cooper, you know, I don't know. Maybe that could work.
Oh, Lady Gaga, but they
already
did it.
Or you know who make a good Bodyguard is Idris Elba. What about Lady Gaga and Idris Elba?
Ooh.
I would watch that.
I would.
Is she that big though? She's not Whitney big.
No. She's not Whitney big.
Whitney doesn't even like Lady Gaga.
Whitney doesn't like Lady Gaga?
It doesn't seem like it.
How do you know? Keanu, you have the inside juice.
What's the beat between Whitney and Lady Gaga?
There's this interview. Somebody put this like compilation together of like best Whitney moments or like the shadiest Whitney moments. And they put a clip of Lady Gaga talking about how Whitney was like her inspiration vocally growing up. And then it cut to Whitney being like, you know, some people just don't have to wear costumes to be a singer.
Oh, shoot.
Whitney. Some shade.
But also, Lady Gaga was doing that rah, 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 all that stuff. Now, you know, Lady Gaga's a little bit more evolved and we can hear her voice and she's singing and it's beautiful. But back then, I wasn't here for Gaga either. I thought it was weird.
I did too.
And I was like, what is this?
I did too.
I think she's one of the best people who can sing like a monster. Like her and Nicki Minaj, that's it, right? Like...
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
I love Gaga, but, you know, when she in that that song she won the Oscar for, right? The Shallow. Mm-hmm. And she's like, like, that's, I mean, I love that moment, but it's like, what the fuck is that? Also, no one else can do that. Also, why would you? Like, there's, I have so many emotions and I'm here for it, but I don't get it. And I think that's a niche that she's the only one who fills. Whitney has the voice and then Gaga has that voice.
And raw meat.
Yeah, and that raw meat drone.
Yeah, weird. That was weird. I was not here for it.
Did you see the interview where Whitney kind of throws shade at Mariah Carey too?
Dang, no.
Which one?
That's a good point. I don't know which one it was, but the interview was like, what do you think of Mariah Carey? She goes, what do I think of her? I don't think of her.
Damn.
That's a great response.
I just love her.
That is great.
How did you guys feel about that duet, the Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston? What's it called? When You Believe? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Shakira.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't make my top 10 or top 20.
It's not on my Best of Whitney playlist.
Top 50?
No.
No.
For neither of them either, right? It's not like
for neither.
It's
of
a great
them.
Mariah song, but not that great of a Whitney song.
It's too much juice.
I don't know. Maybe you just can't fit that many runs in a song.
Yeah.
So what do you think Whitney's legacy is going to be? How do you think she'll be remembered?
I think living authentically, as honestly as she possibly could without being scrutinized or trying to avoid being scrutinized. I think she did a really good job doing that, is trying to be herself under the lens of the public eye. Mm-hmm. Is really tough, but I think she did a good job of doing it.
I think it's the voice too. It's just that voice. And the thing that I really love about Whitney is if you take most singers, you distill them down to like one song, right? You can boil all of like Madonna's career down to Vogue. She'll be really remembered that one song.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. You
can. But like Whitney, you boil her down and you still have I Want to Dance with Somebody, I Will Always Love You, The Star Spangled Banner. Like those, probably those three. Those songs are just going to be in our culture forever. And I think that's really cool. Like I have a friend whose six-year-old daughter's favorite singer is Whitney Houston, and that brings me such great joy because yeah. It's like, yes, this is continuing, you know, like Kiana, we give you a lot of shit, but the fact that, you know, you visited this at a later age and you're like, this is amazing, I love it. I mean, that's legacy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's for me, her music is timeless. Like that is something that, you know, we listened to growing up. It's still popular with kids today, and it will be popular when our kids have kids. Like she will always be an icon. She's there for you in the good times where you're at your wedding or at a wedding or out at a bar and I Want to Dance with Somebody comes on and you hear just like the first 5 seconds of that song.
I distinctly remember that moment at your wedding.
Oh my God. Can we talk? I mean, my friends associate me with that song specifically. Sidebar, if I can, to a story about that song and just that first like intro music. I was at a bar in New Orleans for a bachelorette party and the music starts for I Want to Dance with Somebody. At the same time, a microphone literally rolls across the floor in a crowded bar. George, have I told you this story?
No, I've never heard this. This is amazing.
And I'm like, what is that on my foot? I literally reach down as the music starts and I go.
I'm like Destiny wanted you to sing it?
Oh, no one wanted me to sing it. I'm in the center of this circle like a baby elephant. They're protecting me as I'm just belting out I Want to Dance with Somebody. And the DJ is on the stage looking for the microphone to like shut it down. And it is probably one of the best moments of my life. And it was because of Whitney. And no one will ever take that from me. But like her music, she's there for you in the good times. She's there for you like when you're sad, like her music will resonate there. Her love ballads. I mean, the girl just is in all aspects. Like she just embeds herself in every kind of like moment you can have. And that to me is iconic.
There really is a timelessness to her music. It doesn't feel like, oh, that's so 80s or that's so 90s. It's Whitney.
Exactly. She is not defined by time. She lives outside.
I love that. That's beautiful.
That's my girl.
What is your favorite Whitney song? Like after this, you're in the car, you get to play it loud. What is the one song that just like that is your Whitney jam that you will just play?
I have to take Jenny's. It's not right, but it's okay.
Yes. Yay! So good.
Yes.
That is a good song.
And the beginning, just a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, like right in the beginning. So good.
Yeah.
It's such a great song. Such a great song.
I was feeling it right there. No, it's going to be I Want to Dance with Somebody. I mean, that is my jam. And clearly, fate has a line. It will always be my jam. So I Want to Dance with Somebody for sure.
Mine's How Will I Know.
Oh, that's so good. That's, I love that song.
That's the one that's I play. Song. Like, if I'm getting ready to go out and I'm trying to like have a little dance party while I'm getting ready before I go, How Will I Know makes the list every single time. Every single time.
Also an amazing song.
Yes.
Have you ever heard the version of that where they strip away everything but the vocals? And it's just like, you do not realize she is just hitting these amazing notes. Again, so effortless. The voice is there. It's so good. It's so good.
That was really popular right after she died. They were playing it on the radio.
Really?
Yeah, the stripped down version.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was a huge thing because they were like, look at this treasure we lost. And like they uncovered that track and it was literally just her vocals and it was phenomenal.
I love all her big hits, but the one that just like I love to play it real loud with the top down, you know, is All the Man That I Need. It starts really slow and then it builds and it builds. And then like 2/3 of the way through, there's a fucking jazz solo right there. It's a saxophone. And then she's back and she blows the roof off the place. She puts everything out there. She's hitting the notes. Then she's got like a gospel band backing her up. Everything about Whitney in one song. I just love it. It's so, so, so good. Maybe the message is problematic, but otherwise, love it.
Well, George, I think you and I are definitely going to need to be drinking some wine soon and playing all of these songs. Like, we're going to need
to. Absolutely. That's what I'm doing for the rest of the day.
Oh, me too. My 3-year-old will be listening to Whitney, which she oftentimes requests, but we're going to be driving soon and it's going to be Whitney the entire way down.
This is why we love her.
Amazing.
Well, I think this is a good place to wrap it up. I really appreciate you guys being here to talk about Whitney, and just it's really fun for fans to just get the gush about your favorite person and talk about all these beautiful moments and just remember her on this day in this way. She's just was such a light and I love the legacy she leaves behind. Listeners, we're going to make sure to include links to all the songs that we talked about, all the moments, articles in the show notes. We do that in every episode. And also check out our Instagram at Who Killed Whitney. We put all our links and clips in the stories there as well. And it's a good place to communicate with us. Tell us what you think and, you know, email us and tell us your theories about the case. We're going to be doing a fan theory episode in a couple of weeks, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Email us at tips@whokilledwhitney.com or message us on Instagram. Who Killed Whitney is a Tucker Media production. Thank you to our producer, Kiana Kirkendall, and to Louis Aronovitz, who composed our theme song.
Did you see that Ray J was with former President Trump?
No. What? What's he doing? Where's Ray J?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Not where's Ray J.
Watch out for Trump. If you are anywhere with Ray J. Yeah.
The day we dropped that episode, he pops up in the news. Did you see that? Because like Kanye said that there was another tape and he tried to steal Ray J's laptop. And Kim's like, there's no other tape. And mm-hmm. I mean, why do I use the word tape? There's no tape. Of course, but video. Yeah, I was like, Ray J, you're always around.
He knows how to stay relevant.
Ish. Always. He's like Bloody Mary.
Legend of Ray J.
like if you say his name 5 times in the mirror, he'll appear.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Oh, girl.
I'm more scared of Ray J than Raffles.
They're in cahoots. Raffles. They're in cahoots, man.
I don't know. What letter is the extent? Is it the E? Is it Raffle? Like R-A-F-F-L-E?
Yeah.